KSL News Radio and reporter Mark Juke presents Honor Flight, A Generation's Journey.
Just near the south entrance of the World War II Memorial, they line up in two rows, 33 veterans on each side and their guardians, as the flags that drape the caskets of some who wanted to make the flight but did not are presented. One is for Courtney Krueger, who died this summer at age 91. More than seven decades later, Krueger's daughter, Connie Wright, thinks his war experience ultimately contributed to his death.
It explained why he was who he was to me, because I didn't really understand that aspect of his life and how much that really changed him.
During 3 years in captivity, Krueger suffered brutal conditions.
He lived off of rice, basically. He told me that they'd gather some weeds and boil it in water to make some soup. And their meat consisted of catching rats that were living there with them, as well as cockroaches.
Krueger was also a survivor of the so-called Hell Ships, former passenger ships used by the Japanese to move prisoners from island to island.
And those ships, because they were so old and decrepit, would break down. And then they'd be stranded out there in the ocean for days on end.
The prisoners were often jammed in the ship's hold for weeks.
If somebody died, what they'd have to do is they'd just pass him overhead to get him off the ship.
Near the entrance of the memorial, Terry Clausen clutches a flag, a rose and a black and white framed photo of his father.
He served in the Merchant Marines during the war, and he didn't talk a lot about the war. It wasn't until later on, when it was his 50th wedding anniversary and I was in Pearl Harbor, we shared a little bit about the war and what he served in the war. It was very sacred to him and the things that went there. In fact, I visited this memorial the first time the day before he passed away. I came to Washington, D.C. knowing that he would not be around, so to share this with him again is a great experience.
By some estimates, as many as a quarter of a million men served in the Merchant Marine during the war. They moved troops, supplies, and armor, making them prime targets for German U-boats. Though they suffered enormous losses during the war, the Merchant Marine were not granted veteran status until the late 1970s. Some of Clausen's father's personal experiences went with him to the grave.
You know, I don't know, because he never shared much about the war. Other than as a young man, he has great fears about, you know, on those ships when they were carrying, you know, servicemen out across the ocean and the Pacific and over in Europe. I don't know. Other than war and what it brings in war is a great trauma. I mean, I don't understand that. I'd never had to serve.
Near the fountains at the World War II Memorial, a soldier played taps as part of a ceremony in honor of the Utah vets. To the south, the memorial to those in the Atlantic conflict. To the north, one for those in the Pacific. West of the fountain, a wall of gold stars. There are just over 4,000 of them. The sight gave Mel Owen pause when he visited as part of a June honor flight.
It's unfathomable, the amount of people that lost. We lost 120 Air Force, 120,000 Air Force men. 120,000. Can you imagine how many that is? I see all these stars, each one representing 100 personnel, and I think we can't imagine what that loss was.
Owen was a navigator on a B-17 over Europe.
An enemy plane shot the B-17 right to the left of us. It went down with the 10 men in it. What was left of it somersaulted right over in front of me, and here I am right in the front of the B-17, and we're just about to hit it, and it exploded in a million pieces, or I wouldn't be here.
Owen was also an artist responsible for the nose art on numerous bombers. George Ford was also on a bomber over Europe.
It was a kind of a hard experience. We lost a navigator over Nuremberg, and we were shot up real bad over Berlin, and things like that. And so those were part of the war.
But near the end of the war, a different kind of mission.
8th Air Force heavies dropped food in Nazi-occupied Holland at Utrecht, Rotterdam, and Amsterdam.
Allied planes were allowed by Germany to drop food to the starving people of Holland in Operations Manna and Chauhelm.
Very, very much a joy and a pleasure to be able to help those people in need in dropping food there, because we went in at about a couple of hundred feet and dropped it in designated places. The people was all over the hanging out windows on roofs, and they wrote in tulips down as we flew over, thank you. And it just made you feel so good to be able to do that after the destruction that had been going on to help those people in need.
40 years later, Ford was one of 21 Americans invited back to Holland to commemorate the anniversary of the food drops.
It was there that I was chosen to receive the Medal of Liberation for the United States. And I thought that was a really great honor in that regard.
Another bomber crew member, Manley Abbott, flew with the honor flight in June. His visit to the memorial caused him to ponder his experience as a belly turret gunner and words like courage.
What is it? You know, you're up there at 25, 30,000 feet. Somebody 5 miles away shooting at you. You're not going to get out and walk. You just got to stay with it and carry it through.
Others served on the ground in Europe, like Quentin Murdoch, an infantry officer.
Well, I was in the famous 1st Infantry Division, and I started in North Africa against Rommel down there. And after we chased him out of Africa, he was the first one to land in Sicily, and we fought all the way through Sicily. And then they had to have us back to England to do the invasion of Normandy, and so we were the first ones to hit Omaha Beach on D-Day in Normandy.
An assignment took him away from his regular platoon that day.
But when we went into Normandy, they had me take the vehicles, and all of my platoon that I had had before, all but two of them was killed on D-Day.
There was another famed fighting group in Europe, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, made up entirely of Japanese-American soldiers like Casey Kunimura, who now lives in North Ogden. While he fought, some of Kunimura's family were in an internment camp in Arizona. He says that gave him and others like him in the 442nd all the more reason to fight.
We're going to lay it all on the line, and that's the model they picked up, go for broke.
In 2011, members of the team received the Congressional Gold Medal for their service. Kunimura and a handful of other Utahns were there. Coming up, the view from those who fought in the Pacific, from Pearl Harbor to Iwo Jima to Okinawa and Tokyo, as Honor Flight, A Generation's Journey, continues.